Start your own radio show now and join our amazing radio family of fun and interesting talent. Be the radio star you've always wanted to be. Visit LATalkRadio.com or email info at LATalkRadio.com now and start your own show today.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. I'm Dr. Deborah.
Hi, it's Therapist Kelly.
How are you, dear Kelly?
I went to Chicago this weekend.
That's right.
Yeah.
How was it? And how was the weather?
It's such a cool city. I mean, I don't know if I could do winter, but I'm okay this time of year. The weather was great. Well, we got there. It was a little bit cooler on Friday, but then it was like 70s. It was perfect. I cannot complain. It's such a neat city. We had a great time.
That city.
Yeah, it's cool, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and the people are down to earth. It was great. We had a really nice time.
As they say in Yiddish, did you walk your tuchus off?
Yes, pretty much. Pretty much. Well, after that deep dish pizza, I mean, you have to, right?
Do you like deep dish?
Yes, I actually do. You know, you know, I'm from the East Coast, so I'm used to sort of the New York style. But once in a while, I mean, I could do the deep dish. It's like a piece of cake. I mean, it's so big, but it was good.
How are you doing on your no chocolate?
Horrible. Heart. I'm back on the chocolate. I put it in my freezer downstairs and I whipped it back out. I swear to God. But I was proud of myself that I lasted like 3 weeks.
I'm not even kidding.
Like, mm-hmm. I probably really could have, but then I was like, you know what? I miss it. It's not crack cocaine. It's just dark chocolate. Give it to me.
Yeah, exactly. So, well,
you know?
Do you notice a difference? Because the reason you went off
not
of
really,
it.
Really? No. I noticed that I missed it.
Okay.
Right?
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you? What'd you do this weekend?
Oh, I went to, you know, the beach, Carpinteria.
It's so funny. Ventura. I was just telling David that you love that and we should look into it.
I was just telling Christopher that you and David and the kids would love it. It was really
That's so funny.
Wonderful. I mean, we did, again, 10 miles walking that day.
Oh, my God.
We went to the beach down there, and we took a really nice walk there. And then we went to Albertsons, and we got lunch food, like turkey and a small salad bar. And then we walked back down to the beach, and we had a picnic at the park down there.
That's so cool.
And then we met up with some friends they have a great happy hour at Lure. Fish tacos and all kinds of things that are, like, really reasonable. It's a seafood restaurant that has really great stuff. So that was nice. We hung out with them, and then we did another walk. And
Jesus.
Yeah, I'm like a
walking machine.
Yeah,
oh my
yeah.
God. Please tell me you had your Fitbit on.
Of course I had my Fitbit on.
I was going to say.
I missed steps. I've been averaging now about 110,000 Fitbits a week.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's good. I like
wow.
it. You know what? It's part of my own therapy.
Yeah, I get that.
You know, it really, really feels good.
Mm-hmm.
So
I get it.
I love it. Although it's so darn hot, it's hard to find the right
think
times.
That. I know. Yeah.
And today I lucked out. In my Pilates class, no one showed up but me, so I got a private Pilates today.
Ooh, that's nice.
Which was very nice. Yes,
oh my
using
God.
The reformer. Because usually I do mat Pilates, which is a little bit more strenuous.
Yes.
And our teacher is a former ballet dancer, so she's so strong. Oh my gosh, she's like unbelievable. And she had the like a leanest body of anybody I've ever seen. And she's in her 40s. It's not like she's a youngster.
20-year-old, right.
Yeah, just amazing. But so it's inspirational and aspirational.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
Yeah. So otherwise, things are good. Anything else? Any drama or trauma?
Yeah, I wanted to throw London off the plane on the way there.
Oh
my God, this is actually kind of funny though. I should share this. So
your poor kids.
So,
all their stories are always disclosed.
So he was pretty rough on the, you know, about 2 hours in, he had it. But on the way back, he was like ready to get off the plane. And you know, you have to stand in line until the people get off. And he was like kind of pushing his way. And we said, London, you can't do that. You got to wait. And he kind of lost his balance and fell over. And everybody kind of turned around and he goes, fucking daddy.
He said,
yes.
Fucking daddy?
Everybody on the plane is completely silent. So I just burst out laughing. I mean, what can you do in that situation? Yeah.
So he's clearly heard somebody say that word.
Yeah, I'll
home.
Tell you who yeah. he heard. My husband. That's who he heard.
He does.
So, but thank God this mother in front of me was like, oh, I've been there. It was like so sweet, you know.
Trying to console
I thought it was
your
funny.
Shame.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that to me is like the least of it. But okay,
you know what? Who cares anyway?
Exactly.
Right?
Right?
No,
so, anyway.
Know, that doesn't mean he's going to be an axe murderer because he's
no, I
word.
Don't think so.
He's,
I think it's
just
he knew he would get power.
Exactly. Of course.
He knew it'd get attention. Yeah.
Yeah. Whoever says that word with just complete like calm. Oh fuck.
Right.
Right. Oh yeah. Oh fuck. Right. It's like no, people say it with oomph.
Yes.
And vigor,
you're right.
So that's what he knows is that somebody's expressing mm-hmm. a strong emotion when they yes. do that. So he's just being exactly the smart little kid that he is.
That is so funny. I love your twist on it. It always makes me feel better.
Well, I told you, I remember my friend in when I first got pregnant, and I was, you know, a bit of a nervous mother, and she'd already mm-hmm. had her child for a couple of years, and she says, Dabra, if she's not doing it by college, you can worry about it. Yeah. Otherwise, she'll do it at her own place, you know? So
true.
So anyway,
so true.
Why don't we launch into last week's show?
Yes.
We had a fabulous guest, David Eskebius, an experienced attorney and certified by the State Bar of California for legal specialization in estate planning, trust, and probate law. Such interesting information.
It
I
was
mean, invaluable.
So, it really was. And if you missed that show and you just have questions about estate planning, trust, just laws in general, pretty much, I thought he did a really, really user-friendly way to explain it.
We had some great emails
and questions,
some concrete questions mm-hmm. that probably a lot of people are dealing with. So you get some good free advice.
Yes.
Checking that out. Okay. Drum roll
Woo-hoo.
For today. Today we have Dr. Susan Edelman, a board certified psychiatrist and an adjunct clinical associate professor at Stanford University. Over the last 30 years of her private practice, Dr. Susan realized a dangerous trend. Despite advances, women across generations still struggle with having a voice and standing up for themselves. We think it's getting better, but it's not. That same struggle is why women don't get what they want from men. It's painful, and in many cases, it stops them from getting what they want out of life. And we are here to talk with Dr. Susan today also about her book, Be Your Own Brand of Sexy. Welcome, Dr. Susan.
Thank you so much. It's so great to be with you guys today.
Awesome. Yay.
This is great and so needed, I feel like, right now. Absolutely. So I'm so happy to hear about this book and everything you have to say.
I'd love to just launch in and say, what do you mean exactly when you say struggle with having a voice and standing up for themselves? Are you talking about just in the sexual arena or in general?
I don't think it's just in the sexual arena. I think that there's so much cultural pressure on women to look sexy and to be sexual. There's a lot of that as well, and it's just gotten worse. I mean, we're trying so hard to meet these increasingly unrealistic and unattainable beauty ideals, and so now 90% of women are unhappy with how they look. So that's not really empowerment. It's more like people-pleasing. Mm-hmm. And we're not to blame. It's not our fault. We've just sort of been brainwashed, because when your culture shames you because you don't look good enough, we start to forget that real power is really knowing what works for you
mm-hmm.
and loving yourself the way you are.
Oh, well, my gosh. And especially with all the advances in plastic surgery and the lasers and the this and the
yes,
that, it's like
yes.
so many women are looking younger and younger and younger as they get older. I mean, I start to feel like I look 90 years old because I'm just like not all about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's not an empowering mindset to be wondering, you know, do I look good enough for this guy if you're going on a date? Or even in business, women are worried that they can't compete because they don't look right to do it. And I just think we're buying in too much to this whole beauty ideal thing, and it's time to reverse it. Because it's not good for us in terms of confidence or our love lives or even at work. It's just not an empowering place to be.
Why do you think, Dr. Susan, that it has gotten worse over the years?
Well, I think it's gotten worse because we want to be normal. We just want to fit in. And that's what looks normal, right? You know, sex sells. It's reflected everywhere. We see this, you know, women's magazines, they're conflicted. They present articles about improving your confidence, but they also want to sell us beauty products.
Right. Absolutely.
Oh, so true. Oh, yeah. I've always, you know, I work with a lot of eating disorders women, and part of my treatment with them is that they absolutely have to say no to every woman's magazine for a minimum of 3 months.
Oh,
they're
so
absolutely
smart.
Not permitted, and I don't keep those magazines in my office, mm-hmm. just not permitted. Or
that's
I try
smart.
Not to. Every once in a while, an office mate sneaks one in.
Right.
But it's like bombarded. I mean, yeah. you just can't even go to checkout of the grocery line mm-hmm. without seeing, you know, half-naked bodies everywhere, and not to mention the whole porn industry. What do you think about that in relation to this?
I'm very worried about porn, and I'm very worried about just regular old movies, mm-hmm. because in movies they're showing us jumping into bed, you know, with someone as though that's the norm, and I don't think that's empowering for people. I think it just promotes these what I call microwave romances, where it's a romance that progresses at lightning speed and then it typically explodes in your face.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Well, I noticed on your website you talked about the seven common mistakes that women make when dating, and I don't know if you want to give away all your secrets, but could you give us at least a few?
I would love to.
Okay.
I would love to. You know, one of the things that I think women do a lot of, which they don't even realize they're doing, is they make excuses for men.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not happy with what the man is doing, but then they, you know, they kind of are like, trying to understand his point of view. Well, if he's late for a date, maybe they think, well, traffic must have been bad.
Mm-hmm.
Or if he won't make a commitment, they say, oh, I should cut him some slack because he had a really bad breakup.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if he's not treating you the way you want, it's okay to be upset about it and to say something
yes.
about it, or just to decide this guy just isn't going to work out. So I think that's a big problem. I don't even think women realize when they make excuses.
You're 100% right. Yep.
It's so automatic.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, I think about that all the time. And especially empathetic women
yes.
are very likely to just be, oh, both sides of the story, always understanding, compassionate, and
yep.
then they don't set any boundaries. So the guy, of course, he's like, give him an inch, he'll take
yes.
a mile.
Yes.
Yeah. And the other one that I think is huge, and I'm sure you both see this all the time, is women often don't say no to what they don't want.
Mm.
So, you know, I'm seeing this as, you know, maybe a man texts a woman late at night. He wants her to come over to his place, and the woman, you know, maybe she won't want to go, but she'll still text him back to say she's not going to do it instead of just ignoring the whole thing. Or, you know, women want a committed relationship, but they go ahead and have casual sex, hoping it'll turn out the way they want, and it often is a big mess for them.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. I tell women all the time, are you really that person who is not going to put the cart before the horse and
mm-hmm.
who really separate and have casual sex? Because if not, you know you're just walking down a disappointment trail.
Absolutely. Well, and I think also there's this idea with women that, like, if they see the red flags and they're like, oh, well, no. I mean, it'll get better or it'll change. Like, that's
or
what
I can
I
change
see.
Them, right?
Yes.
Potential.
I see that all the time. Or just like, it's a big deal, but you know what? Later on, it probably won't be a big deal. You know, it's kind of like that sort of mentality because I think they feel like, oh, my God, but he's got these other good things. So, you know, maybe I should just focus on that.
Yes, and I think this is a big, big problem in our culture is that people don't necessarily get in touch with how they feel and kind of live with it,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of grapple with it. And I'm sure you guys are saying this a lot. So I think that we want to make it go away. We want to say, oh, maybe it's me and I should get a new beauty product or something, or maybe I'm not attractive enough and that's the problem, or
mm-hmm.
you know, they get on social media and they distract themselves instead of really thinking something's not working about this and what is it.
It's so fascinating, too. When you're talking about this, I think back to, like, the 80s and stuff, and we used to call the clubs the meat market, right? You walk into a nightclub, and you were, like, on stage about who was going to pick you kind of thing. But it reminds me that a lot of things really haven't changed. I mean, the websites like Tinder. And those, it's like you're swiping, like, hundreds of people at a time to see, who's hot, who's sexy. And that's all you're looking for. There's no content, and there's no anything.
Yeah, and women will write, even though some people have started good relationships on Tinder, apparently, but for a lot of the women who are doing it, they are weeding through a lot of people that might not be what they're looking for. Because even if they put in their little profile, hey, I'm looking for something serious, a lot of times the men just ignore that. Or they say, oh, I am too, and that's really not exactly where they are.
Yeah.
So they have to screen a lot of guys to figure out if one can possibly even work.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I remember we had a friend stay with us, and the first time I saw Tinder, it was a couple years ago, and he stayed with us, a single friend of ours, and he's like, oh, look at, see this app. And I was like mesmerized. Like, I couldn't believe it. I mean, it was like so bizarre. I mean, and then I thought, like, I think there's this mentality of like, oh my God, but there could be something better behind door number two. You know, it's like, okay, right. here's this beautiful, woman, but okay, but wait, there could be more. Let me keep going. I mean, it's kind of crazy if you think about it.
And that sense of abundance and accessibility at all hours, anytime, anywhere, that there's always, if that doesn't work out, so many people get this idea, well, God, there's the site that's plenty of fish in the sea. There's just, they're going to be
more
abundance. And then what you see is these, particularly in certain age groups, that I have some friends that they'll say, oh, they all recycle. After a while, like on Match or something, you just see all the same
people.
Like, they're offline for maybe 3 months, and then they recycle because none of those relationships work out, or rarely.
I think you're so right. I think there's a fear of missing out with so many opportunities. So what's the reason to make a commitment for a lot of these people?
Exactly.
It's really not that important because, there's plenty of options out there.
Sure. Mm-hmm. What are the crucial questions every woman should ask herself before she even thinks of having sex with a new man?
Well, I'm so glad you asked me that. The very most important one is, does he want what I want? Right, because before you have sex with someone new, you want to know him well enough to know if you both have the same goals for the relationship. Do you both want something serious, or is one or both of you looking for just a fling?
Right.
And you guys are probably seeing this. So many people feel awkward about bringing this up, and then people just don't even bring it up. But if you don't feel you can talk about it with this person, maybe you're just not ready to have sex. Because if you don't get the answers you need, you're probably going to be sorry later.
Mm-hmm. But I always wonder, how do you know when is like the right time that you really feel that the person's been genuine and honest? Because a lot of the research says that you can't really fully get to know somebody for about 18 months to really understand who they are, and in a variety of contexts. And so many people are pushing the envelope trying to get married within a year of having met someone, and they're so disappointed afterwards. So what do you think is the right timeline? Should somebody wait 3 months or 6 months or 13 dates, or what does that look like for you?
Well, I think it probably depends on the person, but I think a lot of it really is feeling like there is some level of trust, because there are many people out there who are just looking for sex and might lie to you, and so if you don't really feel like you know them well enough, you can get yourself into some problems.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of people get attached to people they have sex with, and you're making excuses for him before then. It's probably going to get worse if you've actually gotten more attached. So I think it's important to see if the person that you're going out with can live with you waiting a little while, because I think that can also help to determine, is he just in it for the sex, or does he really care about you and want a relationship with you? And so I think you may not have to know somebody for 18 months before you have sex with them, but maybe at least like 3 to 6 months, probably. I think some of these people that have sex in the first month, if they don't know somebody at all, it's a lot riskier.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's so interesting. I just went out with a friend of mine who's single, and she said to me, she started dating this guy. They're like long distance. She met him in another city, and she said he's coming in next weekend for to visit his friend, but they're going to see each other. And she said, and he bought me tickets to a concert. I said, oh, that's great. And she said, do you think that, you know, I have to sleep with him because he bought the tickets? And I was like, my mouth was like on the ground. I was like, wait, what? No. I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, well, you know, I mean, he's flying in, he's got these tickets. Like, I think she, you know, along with a lot of other women, feels this obligation, like, well, look what he's doing for me. And I'm like, oh my God, I like whipped her back into shape. I'm like, absolutely not.
Good job.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting, but I didn't realize how many people feel that way, that this sort of quote unquote obligation.
Have you heard of the 3-date rule?
No.
Do you know about the 3-date rule? So this is this rule, supposedly, that it came from Sex and the City, but it actually has turned into this obligation for women to make a decision within 3 dates whether they're going to have sex with a new man or not. Now, can you imagine that? There's no way you can really know if you can trust a man in 3 dates.
Ludicrous.
So women, of course, with this out there, you're going to worry that a guy expects sex right away, and he might disappear if you're not going to sleep with him.
And I say, good riddance.
Exactly,
then.
Right, then
why
you
the
know.
Hell? Yeah, right, because if that guy is so selfish, it's just going to be an indicator of everything to come. It's funny because I have a rule of thumb in my own mind about people, because based on some experiences of dating before, where, you know, you go out with somebody and you, let's say you have a conflict with a friend and you tell this person about the conflict, and they're so sensitive and they're so gentle and they're so understanding. It's very seductive. But the best rule of thumb is to actually find a disagreement between the two of you and have to process that and see how that goes, because it's much different to be empathetic and understanding when somebody's upset with you.
Sure,
you know,
say,
hey,
exactly.
It really offended me that you were late the last 3 times. If somebody says, well, you know, and it gets defensive, that's a pretty good indicator of what's more to come as well.
Yes.
What do you think about that?
Oh, I think that's a wonderful idea. And so many women are afraid to bring any of that up. So then they don't find out, is a guy defensive or understanding? And that is probably the most important thing about making a relationship work. Is can he communicate? You know, they have studies that say that women are more happy in relationships when the man attempts to understand her feelings, even if he kind of messes it up a little bit, even if he can't quite do it, at least he's trying.
Yes.
And that's what makes women happy in relationships.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If you just tuned in, we are talking with Dr. Susan Edelman, the author of Be Your Own Brand of Sexy, who's talking to us about all kinds of things that women can learn to have a better experience, both with their own selves and in their relationships. So many questions. Is there something that you particularly want to make sure that we cover, though, Dr. Susan? We have lots of time, but I don't want to steer us too far away from what's really important for you to share.
Well, I do want people to know that it really makes a difference. See, I wrote this book because I wanted people to understand how important it was to figure out what's right for you as a person. Because with so much cultural pressure on us, we are worrying more about being normal than really figuring out, you know, what it is we want, what works for us as an individual, and then how to get it. So that's what Being Your Own Brand of Sexy is all about. And I think it can be really helpful for people. You know, I know that when people have these relationship issues ongoing, sometimes it really helps to see a therapist. I think that's really important. But I also think a book can help transform you, because you can read your book every day and work on little things that maybe your therapist, you can't see them that often, and it can kind of help. It helps complement the experience.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Can you tell us what the 5 guidelines of being your own brand of sexy are?
I would love to. So the first is, you always have a choice, because, you know, how we're talking about how women don't realize how they feel, or they feel like it's not okay to bring it up, or they have to be understanding of the other person. So being aware that you have a choice in all these situations is really the first step, because otherwise it it's kind of lost mm-hmm. to you. And then the second one, of course, we've already talked about media and peer pressure solutions might not be right for you. So maybe your best friend is fine with casual sex, and maybe you're not, mm-hmm. and that's okay, right?
Right. Sure.
And three, slow can be sexy, so we kind of talked about that, waiting, mm-hmm. waiting to get sexual with somebody and realizing that that's a turn-on. You know, for someone who's really interested in you, waiting a little while can be way more of a turn-on than jumping into bed on the mm-hmm. first or second date.
Absolutely.
And number four is your voice matters. So that's speaking up and learning how to communicate your feelings to somebody. And I think that one's really important. And how we do it, you and I, we can talk about if you guys are interested, because I think that's important. And number five is, if a guy isn't respecting your voice, move on.
Love it.
I love that.
Very clear, very simple. Terrific advice.
I want to talk a little bit about narcissists, because I think a lot of women get sucked into that. And I'd love to know your thoughts. Why are some women attracted to that?
Oh my goodness, narcissistic men can be super charming and attractive. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they can be wealthy, they can be, you know, trying to impress you, and sometimes they can be really good talkers. So there is a lot of appeal in that. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with this book, The Narcissism Epidemic. Well, the authors of that book think that the incidence of narcissism is increasing, because in our culture, we're glamorizing and making it look good to have self-confidence and be kind of materialistic and vain and self-centered.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, we may be getting a lot of messages that this is a good thing, which is confusing, because narcissistic men are very hard to be in a relationship with.
Oh extremely.
God. I know.
They really do require you to be an extension of themselves. It works out at the beginning, because usually we're sort of idealizing this person in front of us, and we're mm-hmm. mirroring who they are. So the narcissist feels that they're on top and that they're being elevated, and so they're kinder then, because they're not having to face the reality of you may have a conflict with them or a problem with mm-hmm. them. And then, oh my God, the narcissistic
yes.
rage and the putting you down and the exploiting who you are and making you feel bad about ever even pointing out anything mm-hmm. and not being able to tolerate criticism. Oh my God, a friggin' fucking nightmare.
I know.
Do I speak from experience or what?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
I have a little checklist if people want to get it about what to look out for narcissists.
Please.
If they want to go to sexygiveaway.com, they can get some information about narcissism there, and what to, all the little points to look out for, because there are red flags, and if you catch the red flags early, sometimes you can avoid, you know, getting mm-hmm. getting burned.
Can you give us two or three of them, just to
teasers? I think one of the biggest ones is when he is a little bit oblivious to, like, say you're in a restaurant and he's a little oblivious to the staff there, mm-hmm. right? Like, he wants a really good table and they're really busy, and he's like, I don't like this table, I want mm-hmm. that table. And so he's kind of giving them a hard time, or he's not very nice to the waiter or waitress. Mm-hmm. So if you're picking up on that, you know, maybe he's treating you like $1 million, but in a 6 months or a year, he might be treating you that way as well, too.
Absolutely. I love that one.
That is one of my tests, too.
Oh, for sure.
Always.
How do you
on
treat
dates.
Other people?
How
you?
Do you treat the wait staff? And how do you uh-huh. order? And are you like, I'll take the, give me the, you know, or, oh, you know what, I'll please have the, you know, and how they are with busboys and different things, 100%.
Because excessive entitlement is one of the characteristic features of narcissism. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you walk in there and somebody feels like they own the restaurant when they don't.
Yep.
And should be catered to. Yep. That king mentality, not going well.
And sometimes it may even be hard for a woman to figure out, you know, does he care about you? Because sometimes he might be trying so hard to impress you that he isn't even asking you any questions about yourself. And, you know, mm-hmm. guys can do this when they're nervous sometimes, too. But it's, you know, it's a bit of a red flag there, a little red flag, and he doesn't ask you questions on the first date.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
For sure. Wow.
But again, so, like you were saying before, so many women will make excuses for that. They'll just say, he's nervous.
Yes.
10 dates later, it's like, is he really nervous
or is that
just
who he
an
is?
Asshole?
Yeah. Well, I have a question for both of you, too. Like, how much of this do you think is women feeling sort of desperate, especially, you know, I have clients who are a little bit older, maybe in their 40s, they haven't found somebody, and then they start to second guess themselves, and they say, you know, maybe I'm just too picky. It could be me, and you know what, he is sort of nice, or, you know, and they kind of feel that desperation. Oh my God, the clock's ticking. So I'm curious, you know, what do you guys think? How much does that play into it?
I think that's a huge part of it, of people staying in relationships. I think they can be afraid of being alone. Mm-hmm. They can be afraid of being single again because that may not have gone so well. And sometimes they may feel like, you know, they really don't deserve any better, or they don't deserve to stand up for themselves.
Right.
So I think that makes it hard, and especially when you get conflicting opinions from everyone you ask.
Yes.
Because our culture is not very clear anymore about what the rules are. We basically threw the rules out, and now everybody gives you a different opinion, so it can be really hard to sort it out.
That's a good point.
It's like the whole concept of courting went bye-bye. You know,
yes.
That was part of what got people drawn to each other and attracted and interested, mm-hmm. and it was such a nice and loving way to mm-hmm. be around each other. And I think also just for women who are listening right now and men, to really appreciate that desperation to some degree is real because there's so much competition. And if it's not you, there will be 10 others who will put out or, mm-hmm. you know, be the one who's just servicing the guy. And that can be a really frustrating experience,
yes.
you know, so there's not going to be a lot of pickings. You know, you do have to kiss a lot of frogs to find your prince. And sometimes that's really challenging for people to have that kind of patience.
Yes.
And not feel bad about themselves.
Right, of course. Yeah.
Yes, I think that people have to be okay with having dry spells in their love life when they're going to be picky about who they want.
Sure.
And if you realize that the person that you're looking for isn't looking for casual sex, they're looking for a real relationship with someone wonderful, then maybe that's worth waiting for, and as you know, if it takes a while.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. And also the really good guys may not be as charming or as charismatic on the front end because they're not trying to play those games. They really are trying to be genuine and real, and
yeah,
they have
true.
To give more of a chance to that, because I know a lot of women too is like, well, he didn't rock my world on the
mm-hmm.
first date. Well,
mm-hmm.
so what, you know, give him another chance.
Yes.
Was he kind? Was he nice? Was he
yes.
interested? Was he friendly? Because mm-hmm. what is going to sustain a long-term relationship? Not necessarily tons and tons of passion all the way throughout. I mean,
yes.
that can happen, but for a lot of people, it's more about companionship and compatibility and
yes.
and mature love, and really knowing that person is there for you and mm-hmm. cares about your well-being.
I always share the story. So I met my husband online back when it was like kind of creepy. It was like 2002, and no one really, you know, you didn't want to tell people, but we met online, and I actually didn't know his height. And at that point, I wanted somebody like 5'10 or taller. I'm 5'6.5. And I would, you know, the emails would come in, and if you were below 5'10, it was like I'd automatically throw you to the trash. I mean, it was so sad. And he actually like kind of emailed me through a different address. So I couldn't see his profile. So I didn't know how tall he was, and he was cute. And I was like, okay, great. And I met him on the first date. He's my height. He's 5'6.5. And we're married, obviously. And we've been married 12 years. And I always tell people, like, don't have these rules. Like, oh my God, if I knew his height, he would have been in my trash can and on my computer. I mean, it's like so funny. And I'm so grateful that, you know, I didn't know his height. And so I think people kind of have these notions of, oh my God, I want this and I want this, but I only like this. And it's like, no, just go in with no expectations and see what happens, because you never know.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up, because a lot of women have pretty rigid checklists.
Yes.
And pretty specific, that only makes it harder mm-hmm. to get what you want.
Well, and then the other question, too, I always ask my clients is like, but why do you want to have that's, you know, that checklist. Like, is it for you? Are you trying to impress society? Are you trying, like, in other words, like, to me, it was like, oh, I wanted somebody taller because, you know, does it look strange if I'm the same height or if he's shorter? Or, you know, it was more like, you know, what is everybody else thinking? So that's something that I often ask, you know, these women that I work with too. It's like, well, but what's the reason behind it? And that can kind of give us a little bit more insight too.
That's a great point.
Great question.
'Cause you may not need it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so many women have told me, you know, that their husband didn't meet their
criteria.
Complete checklist, too. So thank goodness they were open enough to go, well,
yeah,
you know, that's not really the most important thing.
Exactly.
But a lot of those criteria are about physical attributes. They're not really about, I think it is good to have a criteria to some degree about your non-negotiables in terms of what kind of person you want to be with, but to not be so shallow and stuck on just what the physical mm-hmm. components are of somebody, because then you're going to miss out on a lot of great people.
Yes.
Well, I mean, you're right. Absolutely. Because the most important thing is how you're going to be treated mm-hmm. by this person.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
So I think that we end up thinking that, you know, how we look is the most important thing, and maybe that's part of why we want the guy to look a certain way too, but ultimately, you know, what's really powerful is more our inner beauty, mm-hmm. and our culture has just completely forgotten that.
Oh,
I
well,
know.
I want to talk a little bit about communication, and what do you tell women who are kind of afraid to stand up, or they're scared that if they voice their opinion, they're going to lose this man, or, you know, any of those type of things?
It's very difficult. So I would explore with someone what's so scary about it. But also, there can be ways of saying things that can feel less like a confrontation, mm-hmm. because I think for a lot of women especially, and men too, bringing up how you feel feels like you're confronting someone. And that it's like this big, dangerous, terrible thing that has all this power to damage everything. So mm-hmm. I think for women, if they can say, you know, I'm not sure I'm comfortable with that, or let me think about it, or I'm not sure how I feel about it, even if they can't say no, I don't like that idea, at least they're kind of building toward it, and then maybe they can kind of see how that goes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the more you practice it, the easier it gets, and usually it goes pretty well, so then it might feel more empowering for them to, you know, then say, no, I'm really not comfortable with that, right?
Mm-hmm. I absolutely love that. I love that piece of advice in general. I think a lot of people feel pressured on the spot to answer something like, oh, you know, would you volunteer at so-and-so? And I love, let me think about it, because, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of times we're sort of forced to make a decision on the spot and we feel uncomfortable. And let me think about it just kind of like pauses everything. And then you can really make an informed decision.
Yeah, and that's where knowing you have a choice really mm-hmm. comes in to all these things. See, you don't have to feel forced to do any of this stuff.
Yes.
I also think there's something about being non-judgmental while still being assertive. Like, somebody can make a request of you, and you don't have to be appalled at the fact that somebody made that request. That's just who they are,
mm-hmm.
right? Hey, I want to sleep with you on the first date. Great, awesome, I'm sure you do. That's terrific, but I don't feel like it. You know,
yeah.
not up for that. So if that's what you want, then we'll part ways.
Mm-hmm.
And also learning how to tell somebody very early on if you're not interested in them. I know so many people, both men and women, who play this game of like pretending like,
yeah.
I'll call you. This is great. You know,
uh-huh.
like, and then somebody inevitably sitting by the phone and waiting instead
yeah.
of just saying, we don't have a love connection.
Yes.
This isn't going to work out.
Yeah.
What do you think about that,
uh-huh.
Dr. Susan?
I think you're absolutely right. People don't want to hurt other people's feelings,
exactly.
in part. And they don't necessarily realize that you can say it's not a personal thing. It's more like, you know, I'm not sure we're really a match.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're a good fit, right?
Yes. Sure. It hurts so much more to be sitting around
waiting
for somebody who said I was interested. Then you go, I mean, like, I go to, something happened to them.
Right.
Then I go to, oh, something's wrong with me. Then I go, I did something. I pissed them off. They were really telling me that I should have been calling them
uh-huh.
instead of waiting. You know, like, I didn't give them enough encouragement. You
right.
Just do
you start
mind
to analyze.
Fuck, like
yeah.
crazy.
And I also love, too, like, I just don't feel the chemistry, because nobody can argue with that. If you don't feel it, you don't feel it.
Right. Exactly.
And there's no way to go through the dating process and not experience rejection.
Of course.
Right,
it's
exactly.
Just part of the process for everyone. So, you know, it's better if we can learn to not take it so personally and not be so hard on ourselves mm-hmm. when it happens. And I think that's part of it, too, is that people think, well, that person's going to be all hard on themselves or whatever. So if we could all just go, you know, this is just part of the process, and it's okay. And I don't have to explain to this person why I'm not into them. It's just, it's okay the way mm-hmm. it is.
And I think it's really valuable, too, to see rejection as an event as opposed to a feeling. A lot of people say, oh, I feel so rejected. No, mm-hmm. actually, this person has rejected you, but you might feel happy about it. What if the guy was a douchebag?
Exactly.
What if it's like rejection doesn't have to be a bad experience, mm-hmm. per se, if you actually look into it with greater like observation of what's really going on in front of you.
I really love
in
that.
In fact, maybe they're doing you a favor to reject
totally.
You. Totally. Because... Right? If yes. they can't, you know, sustain interest, or if they have some other issues that are bigger and more complicated that they can't even really be in a relationship, maybe, you're better off without them.
Yes.
They're doing you a favor.
Absolutely.
100%.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow. This is so interesting. This is probably one of my absolute favorite topics. I mean, really, of all time. So again, if you just tuned in, we're talking with Dr. Susan Edelman. She is the author of Be Your Own Brand of Sexy. So informative, so true, everything. I absolutely loved what you stand for. So this is just great.
I want to ask you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So glad that you're speaking with us today. Is it manipulative to have strategies to get what you want for men?
I'm so glad you asked me that question. Mm-hmm. So many women think it's manipulative, but I don't think so. I think trying to be able to communicate your needs is a basic requirement of a relationship to kind of go somewhere that is useful for you. I know there are couples who don't communicate hardly at all, but they have their own style of doing that, probably. So everybody's going to be different in terms of who they are and what they want, but I think it's a good thing to try and get what you want, because you're not going to be happy, and neither is your partner, if you don't get what you, or try and get what you want, at least get your feelings hurt.
Agreed. And I think it's so important, too, to take the sting out of the word manipulative. Human beings are manipulative by
nature.
We do want to. For survival, we need to be able to scope out a situation, figure out what the best strategies and tactics are to get the result that we want, as long as we're not trampling over mm-hmm. other people and willingly trying to hurt other people. That form of manipulation, I think, is really destructive. But yeah, I mean, to some degree, everything we do is a manipulation. Yeah. You know, you tell somebody a joke, you're hoping that they laugh or smile, right?
Right? And I think women aren't comfortable with the word strategies either.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Like, oh, you know, do I really need a strategy? I don't want to play games.
Right.
But
yeah. Wow.
But games have so many covert components to them, other than a strategy. It's like, okay, so I only want to date men who are... ding, 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 right? And if that's not occurring, or how are you going to get there? So are you going to use online services? Are you going to use a matchmaking service? Those are mm-hmm. those are tactics that we take upon us to try to get the goal that we want.
Sure.
Well, yes, and deciding, you know, casual sex isn't working for me anymore, I'm going to quit doing that for a while. That's a strategy.
Sure.
And that's okay too, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I want to go back to the appearance for 1 second, because I do know a lot of women, or most women, it's always like they want to improve something. They want to be happier with how they look. And I guess, can you speak a little bit about how to, if someone came in and said, hey, I want to improve my self-esteem, especially when it comes to appearance, what would you say to that?
Well, there's so many components to that. I mean, I want to evaluate somebody to make sure they don't have depression or anxiety that's contributing to that as well, because a lot of people have, you know, body dysmorphic problems, and sometimes they can have all kinds of other issues with it. So that would be part of it. But I also, you know, wonder if people are just really buying into the media hype and also really, really hard on themselves.
Yeah.
You know, I think that we have a lot more power when we can accept and love ourselves the way we are and prioritize our inner beauty. And I don't think we're really talking a lot about inner beauty anymore. I think a lot of people go around and they don't even know what that means exactly. And so if your listeners can't figure out if they have any inner beauty, they should go ask their friends, because they know what's beautiful about them, whether they're a good listener or they're a good friend. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, that's way more important than how you look on the outside.
I think we use how we look on the outside as a serious distraction from looking at what we really believe and feel about ourselves inside. And what's interesting, too, is that as I get older, and of course, you know, there's so much ageism in our society, and, you know, it's hard to feel pretty because we're compared to so many men, like in my age group, are dating 30-year-olds and stuff. So it's a very different experience. But when I feel like particularly bad about myself or down or doing that, I just close my eyes and I say, if I couldn't see what I look like, who am I? What do I feel like inside? You know, am I kind? Am I gentle? Am I soft? All the qualities that I revere, that I have full control over.
I love that.
And it really helps me. It's a very calming kind of experience, because I can't tell inside when I shut my eyes that I look any older than I did 30 years ago.
Right.
I may experience things a little bit differently.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
And that's so beautiful, because, you know, that this is the other reason I wrote my book, because I thought if women could, and men could support women in doing what's right for them as individuals and accepting our looks the way we are and appreciating our inner beauty, rather than focusing so much on the external and sex, you know, our culture would be able to expect acceptance and respect rather than all this criticism and shame, because it's just toxic to be fat shaming people. It's not good for anybody.
Right.
And so I think this could be a movement. I mean, we could really change the way we're approaching all this thing with all of us being so negative.
Yes.
Toward ourselves and other people.
Yes.
And do you think any merit to how we go on a first date in terms of like almost dressing down and wearing less makeup than we might, let's say, if our whatever our job requires or something, just to be as natural as you can be, so that when this person wakes up to you naked someday, if it should go that way, that they're not like shocked because of
right. Yeah.
You know, like why wear stiletto heels if most of the days, all day long, you wear flats? Why do it?
Right.
Well, everybody's gonna feel more comfortable a different way, you know, with that issue, because, you know, if you want to present yourself a certain way on the first date, then perhaps that would work. And other people may kind of ease into, this is what I really look like.
Right.
But even if you're wearing your stilettos and your high makeup, maybe you're turning off a guy who wants a more natural woman. I mean, there's no way to know what the other person is going to like. So you can only do kind of what you're most comfortable with.
So true. Wow, we're almost out of time.
Oh,
I cannot
gosh.
Believe it. So,
unbelievable.
Dr. Susan, what kind of last words do you have to say, or any last messages? And then we definitely want to know where we can find the book and your website and all that.
Well, I would really love for everybody to take away that your heart is precious and nobody can tell you what's right for you. So it's really important to try and figure it out for yourself. And if you want to take my... I have a quiz about whether you're being your own brand of sexy, and, you know, kind of a quiz about who you are in this process. And so you can take that quiz on my website, and I've got a blog that's been running for a while, so there's a lot of pointers there as well, and a pretty active Facebook page. So I can't thank you guys enough for having me on your show. You've just been terrific. It's
and you've been a
so
delight.
You really
such
have.
Such a delight, so clear, such great
insight. I love it.
Info. The book is a simple read, which is awesome.
Yes.
It's not a lot of psychiatric psychobabble.
Right. It's for the layperson. Absolutely.
Right.
And the website, I want to give out the website. It's beyourownbrandofsexy.com. And then and then what's your Instagram handle again? Because I think I tagged you. Do you know it offhand? Is it Brand of Sexy? I think it's Brand of Sexy.
Twitter is Brand of Sexy, and I think Instagram might be their own Brand of Sexy.
Okay.
Let's see if I can find it.
The young folks are all Instagram now. We gotta get on it.
Gotta include them.
You guys are really with it. I'm impressed.
Oh.
Thanks to Kelly.
I think, what was I gonna say? I'm trying to look up my Instagram.
Well,
we can always add it.
You can link to it on my website.
Yeah,
I saw that. I can't thank you enough for having me. You guys really understand this stuff super well, and it was really fun.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Okay, and next week.
Yes,
so Kelly, this is people that you know. Yes,
I don't know them, but I loved what they. It's really interesting. They do a podcast called One Bad Mother. It's really funny. Biz and Teresa, and they talk about parenting and mothering, and you know, they're just a fun group of ladies. So that'll be really cool.
Should be lively. Thank you for listening.
Thank you guys so much. Follow us on Instagram, Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly, and we will see you next week. Bye bye.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.